Hey there, it's the new LifeSpring Family Audio Bible, episode 253. My name is Steve Webb, and I'm your host, and I'm so glad you're here today. Today, we begin the Apostle Paul's second letter to the Corinthians. We'll read the first two chapters. Let's begin. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. From Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and from Timothy, our brother, to God's church in the city of Corinth, and to all God's holy people everywhere in Greece. Goodwill and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus are yours. Praise the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He is the Father who is compassionate and the God who gives comfort. He comforts us whenever we suffer. That is why whenever other people suffer, we are able to comfort them by using the same comfort we have received from God. Because Christ suffered so much for us, we can receive so much comfort from Him. Besides, if we suffer, it brings you comfort and salvation. If we are comforted, we can effectively comfort you when you endure the same sufferings that we endure. We have confidence in you. We know that as you share our sufferings, you also share our comfort. Brothers and sisters, we don't want you to be ignorant about the suffering we experienced in the province of Asia. It was so extreme that it was beyond our ability to endure. We even wondered if we could go on living. In fact, we still feel as if we are under a death sentence. But we suffered so that we would stop trusting ourselves and learn to trust God, who brings the dead back to life. He has rescued us from a terrible death, and He will rescue us in the future. We are confident that He will continue to rescue us, since you are also joining to help us when you pray for us. Then many people will thank God for the favor He will show us because many people prayed for us. We are proud that our conscience is clear. We are proud of the way that we have lived in this world. We have lived with a God-given holiness and sincerity, especially toward you. It was not by human wisdom that we have lived, but by God's kindness. We are only writing you what you already knew before you read this. I hope you will understand this as long as you live, even though you now understand it only partially. We are your reason to be proud, as you will be our reason to be proud on the day of our Lord Jesus. Confident of this, I had previously wanted to visit you so that you could benefit twice. My plans had been to go from the city of Corinth to the province of Macedonia. Then, from Macedonia, I had planned to return to you again in Corinth and have you support my trip to Judea. You don't think that I made these plans lightly, do you? Do you think that when I make plans, I make them in a sinful way? Why would I say that something is true when it isn't? You can depend on God. Our message to you isn't false, it's true. God's Son, Jesus Christ, whom I, Silvanus, and Timothy told you about, was true, not false. Because of Him, our message was always true. Certainly, Christ made God's many promises come true. For that reason, because of our message, people also honor God by saying Amen. God establishes us, together with you, in a relationship with Christ. He has also anointed us. In addition, He has put His seal of ownership on us and has given us the Spirit as His guarantee. I appeal to God as a witness on my behalf that I stayed away from Corinth because I wanted to spare you. It isn't that we want to have control over your Christian faith. Rather, we want to work with you so that you will be happy. Certainly, you are firmly established in the Christian faith. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. I decided not to visit you again while I was distressed. After all, if I had made you uncomfortable, how could you have cheered me up when you were uncomfortable? This is the very reason I wrote to you. I didn't want to visit you and be distressed by those who should make me happy. I'm confident about all of you that whatever makes me happy also makes you happy. I was deeply troubled and anguished. In fact, I had tears in my eyes when I wrote to you. I didn't write to make you uncomfortable, but to let you know how much I love you. If someone caused distress, I'm not the one really affected. To some extent, although I don't want to emphasize this too much, it has affected all of you. The majority of you have imposed a severe enough punishment on that person. So now, forgive and comfort him. Such distress could overwhelm someone like that if he's not forgiven and comforted. That is why I urge you to assure him that you love him. I had also written to you to test you. I wanted to see if you would be obedient in every way. If you forgive someone, so do I. Indeed, what I have forgiven, if I have forgiven anything, I did in the presence of Christ for your benefit. I don't want Satan to outwit us. After all, we are not ignorant about Satan's scheming. When I went to the city of Troas, the Lord gave me an opportunity to spread the good news about Christ. But I didn't have any peace of mind because I couldn't find Titus, our brother, there. So I said goodbye to the people in Troas and went to the province of Macedonia. But I thank God, who always leads us in victory because of Christ. Wherever we go, God uses us to make clear what it means to know Christ. It's like a fragrance that fills the air. To God, we are the aroma of Christ among those who are saved and among those who are dying. To some people, we are a deadly fragrance, while to others, we are a life-giving fragrance. Who is qualified to tell about Christ? At least we don't go around selling an impure word of God like many others. The opposite is true. As Christ's spokesman and in God's presence, we speak the pure message that comes from God. May God bless the reading of His Word. I have just a short comment on today's reading. Do you remember the first issue that Paul talked to the Corinthians about in the last letter? There was a man in the church who was in the midst of sexual sin. In fact, it was incest. He told them that they must discipline the person and not let the sin continue or condone it. In this letter, he tells them that as he wrote that, he was heartbroken and there were tears in his eyes as he wrote. Do you remember how he ended the last letter? Sure. He assured them of his love for them. And here in the second letter, he reminds them of that love. He says, "I didn't write to make you uncomfortable, but to let you know how much I love you." And now, here in this second letter, he tells them that most of them in the Corinthian church have punished the man who was in sin enough. He tells them to forgive and comfort him. Paul didn't want the man to be overwhelmed by grief and guilt at what he had done. Why? Well, because Satan could use that guilt and grief to separate the man from them and Christ. My friend, sorrow and grief are appropriate when we come to the realization that we have sinned. After all, it is our sin that made it necessary for Jesus to suffer and die. But the good news is that His sacrifice was sufficient. We don't also have to suffer and die in order for our sin to be forgiven. His sacrifice was sufficient. It was all that is necessary. The work of Jesus plus nothing brings forgiveness, not His work plus ours. When we come to Him and ask forgiveness, we can be confident that He will forgive. And then we can rest in the comfort and peace that He paid for. Don't let Satan rob you of that. If we let him, he will. Don't let him. He is a liar and a thief. Comments? Email me at steve@lifespringmedia.com or leave a comment on the show notes page at bible.lifespringmedia.com. Look for episode number 253. Or tweet me at _SteveWebb_#LifespringMedia. I'll see you tomorrow. Until then, may God bless you richly. I'm Steve Webb. Bye.